WJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, 67 degrees in Atlantic, looking for scattered showers and thunderstorms through about midday, and a high around 74. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. The Atlantic City Council Wednesday approved a $400,000 guaranteed loan to local developer Pat McCurdy for a 24-unit apartment building near the existing Walnut Hills apartment complex on East 10th Street. The funds at 4% interest would not be paid to McCurdy unless he receives the go-ahead for a $2.1 million project from the state as part of an application he submitted for additional grant or loan opportunities. A loan guarantee also serves to add points to McCurdy's application when it comes time to approve the larger grant or loan. It should be known by January whether or not that process can move forward. In other business, the council held a public hearing on a revised urban revitalization plan, or URP, during which there were no comments submitted, either written or spoken. The council then moved forward with approving a resolution establishing a URP for the city with the proposed modifications, as explained by Mayor Dave Jones and SWPCO Community Development Specialist Barb Barrick.
The only modification we had, we were talking about doing the citywide, and our bond attorney, Bob Jopsis, advised us, at first with okay, and after further review, he said it'd be kind of hard to prove south of 14th Street being a disaster area.
Bob felt that the areas south of 14th Street would not be appropriate for the larger tax abatement.
Yeah. So anybody south of 14th will get us up to $75,000 on new construction.
$75,000 off of the actual assessed value of the added improvements.
Okay. And then north of 14th will get the full abatement.
The duplexes constructed after January 1st of this year are being classified as single-family residences instead of commercial and would be eligible for tax abatement if they previously were qualified as commercial. Following the public hearing, the council approved a resolution establishing the urban revitalization area, and after some discussion, the first reading of an ordinance designating the 2014 City of Atlantic URP. There was considerable confusion over what time frame the abatements would cover as far as improvements to structures were concerned. John Lund, assistant to City Administrator Doug Harris, tried to clarify the manner, a matter that is, citing his conversations with Cass County Assessor Brenda Nelson.
She said that everything is going to revolve around completion. She won't do abatement on partially completed projects. So if your home is 95% complete on January 1st, and it's 100% complete January 2nd, you're going to have to wait until the beginning of the next year for the abatement to take place. Everything will depend on the calendar year and when it's completed. So anyone that applies for tax abatement right now, their homes or projects have to be completed before January 1 of next calendar year in order to be on the tax rolls and receive abatement next year.
If the project was not complete by January 1st, there won't be any partial abatements. Instead, the full abatement would come during the following calendar year if it amounts to a 10% increase in the valuation of the property. News time is 8:03.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson True Value for all your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
The Harlan Police Department Wednesday issued a report on arrests and incidents that have taken place since July 22nd, most recently on Tuesday, August the 5th. Officers were called to West Ridge Acres for a reported domestic disturbance, and as a result of the investigation, 27-year-old Brett Redelsdorf of Harlan was taken into custody for domestic abuse assault for allegedly striking a woman who is also from Harlan. Last Saturday, 23-year-old Robert Swenson of Harlan was taken into custody when it was reported that he had violated a no-contact order. Swenson was transported to the Shelby County Jail. And Harlan police are investigating three incidents of theft. On July 22nd, Alexander McLaughlin of Harlan reported the theft of money from his vehicle and a small safe from his residence. The next day, Abundant Life Fellowship reported the theft of a battery and gas from the church van. The loss was estimated at $200. And on July the 30th, Jaron Henshot of Harlan reported the theft of a power washer from behind his business at 603 Court Street. The loss was estimated at about $600. Each of those incidents remain under investigation. The Iowa Department of Transportation's Council Bluffs Interstate Improvement Office announced earlier this week that traffic on northbound Iowa Highway 192, the South Expressway between I-80 and 29 and 23rd Avenue in Council Bluffs, was restricted to one lane near the interstate and will continue for 3 weeks. Interstate access itself is not affected. The lane closure is needed while a utility company relocates a segment of a gas distribution line. The relocated gas line will allow new stormwater pipes to be installed that will help to manage stormwater from the interstate reconstruction projects. Construction projects in the area are part of the Council Bluffs Interstate Improvement System Program, which is a large-scale modernization and rehabilitation of the interstate system. The Iowa DOT is committed to completing the interstate improvements with minimal inconvenience to the public. Elsewhere in state news, Des Moines authorities say a man wanted for violating sex offender registry rules led deputies on a chase and rammed an officer's car. Polk County spokeswoman Lieutenant Jenna Abens told the Des Moines Register that 64-year-old Larry Gowan had been charged with attempted murder and eluding police. Authorities engaged Gowan's minivan because of outstanding warrants for escaping custody and the registry violation. They say Gowan led deputies on a 7-minute chase through a neighborhood before a deputy intentionally collided with the van. Abens says that Gowan rammed the deputy's vehicle before stopping the van. The deputy was treated at the scene for unreported injuries. Gowan was hospitalized with undisclosed injuries before being booked into the Polk County Jail on $30,000 bond. An 11-year-old elementary student has been accused of bringing a BB gun to school and threatening to shoot four classmates. Des Moines police say the incident occurred Tuesday at River Woods Elementary School, which maintains a year-round calendar. There were no injuries reported. The Register reports the 11-year-old student is accused of firing the BB gun at a tree on the school grounds. School employees told police the student arrived at the school with two former students, ages 14 and 16. Additional information about the incident was not released. Iowa's three state universities are expecting to set record enrollments or come close when students return to the campuses later this month. University of Northern Iowa President Bill Rood told the Board of Regents on Wednesday that they're continuing to make progress in erasing recent enrollment declines.
As of August 1st, the number of students applying to UNI is up 27%. Number of students admitted to UNI is up 18% compared to last year. We haven't stopped there. We've also been looking forward to FY 2015 by reaching out to students who will be seniors in high school this fall through our senior search campaign, and we already have admitted, as of today, more than 600 new students for the fall of 2015.
Iowa State University President Stephen Leith says they're projecting a slight increase of last year.
We expect more than 34,000 of them, and we had a record of 5,600 students take part in our summer orientation program.
And University of Iowa President Sally Mason didn't give any specific numbers, but says the freshman class looks to be the largest ever. Mason says they're finishing up the flood cleanup to be ready for the returning students.
The building projects that were impacted by the flood were actually not significantly impacted by the flood. That's the good news from our standpoint, is that all of those projects are continuing underway and likely will not be behind schedule in any significant way.
The university put up flood barriers in anticipation the floodwaters will be a problem once again, and that included sandbagging around the Mayflower dorm.
The Mayflower will be open for the fall semester, and by next spring, it will be fully protected from future floods.
Last year's U of I freshman class was 4,400, down slightly from the previous fall, and total enrollment fell behind Iowa State to 31,000. Official enrollment figures will be released after the classes get underway. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Russia is retaliating against the U.S. and other Western countries for their sanctions over Ukraine. Moscow says that for 1 year it's banning imports of meat, fish, fruit, vegetables, and milk products from the U.S., the European Union, Australia, Canada, and Norway. Also today, Moscow granted former U.S. government analyst Edward Snowden permission to stay in Russia for 3 more years. Russian news agencies say he's not been given political asylum. Soldiers in Liberia are clamping down on people trying to travel to the country's capital from rural areas hard hit by the Ebola virus. Liberia's president today declared a national state of emergency and said extraordinary measures would have to be taken to protect people. Reports have emerged of families hiding sick relatives at home and of abandoned bodies being left in the streets. Hurricane Isel is expected to arrive on Hawaii's Big Island this evening, bringing heavy rains and winds gusting up to 85 miles per hour. It'll be Hawaii's first direct hurricane in 22 years. But National Weather Service meteorologist Mike Canton said the Big Island's size and terrain should help to break up the hurricane, making it only a tropical storm as it passes Maui and Oahu later tonight and early tomorrow. KJAN News Time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson True Value for all your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And in our funeral announcements, Jackson Lee Pilgrim, age 2 of Greenfield, the son of Jonathan and Cassandra Pilgrim, died Sunday at Children's Hospital in Omaha. Funeral services for Jackson Pilgrim will be today at 10 o'clock at the Griswold Community Building. The Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. William M. Nichols, age 27, of the Sacramento, California area and formerly of Lewis, passed away August 2nd. Celebration of life services for William Nichols will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Atlantic Evangelical Free Church. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Ernest Ernie Schnack, Jr., age 87, of Harlan, died Wednesday at Murtu Medical Center. A massive Christian burial service for Ernie Schnack, Jr. will be on Friday at 10:30 at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Edwin Albert Michaels, age 87, of Erling, died Monday at the Little Flower Haven Nursing Home. A massive Christian burial service for Edwin Michaels will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Randall Lamb, age 59, of Des Moines and formerly of Redfield, died Friday at the Bright Cavanaugh Hospice in Des Moines. A memorial service for Randall Lamb will be on Friday at 11 a.m. at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter. Nancy Balch, age 63, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at the Cascotti Hospital. Funeral services for Nancy Balch will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Norma Cousins, age 87, of Griswold, died Monday at CCMH. Funeral services for Norma Cousins will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Central Church of Christ in Griswold. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. John H. Gomez, age 94, of Stewart, died Tuesday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Services for John Gomez will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the All Saints Center in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Leonard Penny Toole, age 95, of Atlantic, died Tuesday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Celebration of life services for Leonard Toole will be on Saturday at 10 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Matthew A. Erickson, age 29, of Carroll and formerly of Elkhorn, died Tuesday at St. Anthony's Hospital in Carroll. Funeral services for Matthew Erickson will be on Saturday at 10:30 at the Brayton Lutheran Church in Brayton. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Trinidad Osbar, age 92, of Avoca, died Monday at the Hanson House Memory Care Assisted Living Facility. A massive Christian burial service for Trinidad Osbar will be held Saturday at 10:30 at St. Mary's Church in Avoca. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Sherry Sue Winther Denny, age 55, of Anita, died July 31st. Memorial services for Sherry Denny will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Anita. And Wayne Colvin, age 79, of Oakland, died Tuesday at Mercy Hospital in Council Bluffs. Services for Wayne Colvin are pending at the reconvened funeral home in Oakland. The news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.